about 300 or so references to angels, and the primary work of angels in the scriptures is clear. It's that of the work of messengers from God to man, to people. The term angel comes from it's just a transliteration, really, of a Greek word, angelos, and it is anglicization of a Greek word, and so we use the term angel, but it's defined in the dictionary as a messenger in the Greek dictionary, and in the English dictionary, defined as a messenger. Now, the pastors at the churches there, the seven churches of Asia Minor that we read about in the book of the Revelation, those pastors are called the angels of the seven churches, in the messenger sense. They were the messengers that God placed as the pastors of those churches to give the message of God to the people. And so the idea of the angel there, mother always called me her little angel and patted me on the head. Not really. She called me another name that's not common these days. She called me a name that came from her era, and the name was Stinkpot. So that was what she called me, rather than a little angel. And she got that, of course, from her era, her generation. They were stinkpots. Ask anybody over 70 what a stinkpot is, they'll be able to tell you. Mothers call their children little angels, and what they mean by that is you're referring to them as little darlings that never do anything wrong and such like that. They're referring to the character of angels, but actually the term angel just means a messenger. So the first chapter of the book of Hebrews certainly said a lot about angels in the few verses that we read. There were several mentions of the position of angels. In fact, it gives a number of things concerning angels. It gives their name, what the significance of their name is, what their worship is, what they're composed of, their spirit, what their position is, what their zeal is, and what their ministry is. All those things are suggested in that first chapter of the book of Hebrews, where we're at. Now, the Jewish believers to whom this was written primarily, this book of Hebrews, was Paul writing to Jewish converts that still clung to some things that they had been raised with throughout their lives. They had been raised with principles and concepts and precepts from the Old Testament. And along with that, they had also gained some insights. And along with the principles from the Old Testament, they also gained some prejudices and some things that were taught to them that related to their upbringing that were fulfilled in Christ that they were having some struggles with. And so a lot of times the Jewish converts, wanted to retain aspects of the Old Testament law and wanted to retain practices of the Old Testament law, wanted to retain some of those things and really struggled with the question of them all being fulfilled, replaced in Jesus Christ. And so that's part of what's going on here is Paul writes to the Hebrew believers there, and there's some great truths, though, there for all of us there. And in respect of that, the Hebrew believers are going to come to the New Testament Christianity, and they're going to say that the ministry of angels was a very significant, important ministry that should be valued and continued on now. We'll be talking about that, and they're going to be saying those kind of things. They're going to point out that the angels are of the highest character, and certainly they are. The fallen angels prove their place, but the angels that remain, the great company, the innumerable multitude of angels that remain serving the Lord in heaven are of the highest character. They're personages whose purpose is glorifying God and doing all that is angelically possible to communicate the truths and the glory and the grace of God to mankind. And so you have that argument there from the Hebrew Christian that the angels are of the highest character, and which is true. They were instrumental in the conveyance of the law of God, as a matter of fact. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 19, as Paul is dealing with the issues that some of the Jewish Christians had, and even the Judaizers who were wanting to bring the shackles of the Old Testament law into the Christian church. And so there was that thing going on in there, but even in reference to that, Paul in Galatians 3 and 19 states that the law was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And that was one of the things that the Judaizers were bringing forth, was that, look, the law was ordained by angels and put into the hands of a mediator, Moses. And Moses, the mediator and the work of angels, that's the important thing here. But we want you to understand that Paul said, I want you to look past the law and past the ministry of angels. And I want you to look to something even better than that. And so that's the point here that is being made by the apostle as he communicates these great truths. Now, angels had taken part in the guiding work of God. Angels had taken part in that, of God's guidance of his people. That had been a ministry of angels, and certainly that is not to be at all discounted. Let's take a look in your Bible. We'll go to several passages of Scripture tonight, but let's go to Genesis. Genesis, and everybody can find Genesis, and that's an easy one. Genesis chapter 24. Let's take a look there, Genesis 24. I'm glad to hear paper rustling rather than just bells dinging in your smartphones there, but Genesis chapter 24, Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. And here is, here's Abraham's servant being sent out to find a wife for his son, Isaac. And he's sending out this servant, Eliezer, and he's saying, well, how in the world am I going to figure out who God wants for a wife for your son? How am I supposed to know that? And so here is the answer. Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And so that's the promise that Abraham was given by God to communicate to Eliezer as he sent him out, said, look, he's gonna use an angelic messenger, gonna go before you, gonna prepare the situation, and you're going to get there, and it's gonna all fall together. You just trust the Lord in this thing, and trust the work of the angel messenger. Now skip to verse 39 and 40 of the same chapter and see how it played out. Verse 39, verse 40. And I said unto my master, he's talking now and explaining the situation to the family that he's met. I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. Thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And so he said that he'd send him before him, but here in this passage he explains it in more detail. He says, I'm going to send an angel with him, with you. He's going to be with you. He's going to go before you. And so there's going to be the work and a ministry of an angel taking place as we're guided. Wouldn't you like to have your life guided by your own personal angel? Certainly, we'd all like to have that. But I want to tell you, before we're finished, you're going to understand that we do. We do have something better than that, better than that. And so we'd all like that. We'd all like to just consult our personal angel and say, you know, should I buy this car or not? We'd all like to consult our personal angel and say, should I go on this appointment or not? Should I take this job or not? Should I do this or not? It'd be nice for the angel to come and say, yeah, no, you better not do that. Or, yeah, you got to go ahead on that one. That would be a nice thing. We'd like that. That's what happened here. That's what happened here. Isaac says, I don't know. I don't get this, Abraham. You just tell me to go where you came from, go find your people, and just go looking around. Am I supposed to just look for a good-looking girl, you know, and ask her if she'll marry you? You marry your son? What am I supposed to do here? And he said, don't worry about that. The angel's going to take care of that. God's going to send a messenger before you, going to prepare the hearts of those that he's talking to and dealing with, and he's going to go with you while you go and make sure you get to where you need to be, and he's going to put you together. He's going to do all that, and behind the scenes, you'll just see it happen when it happens. And so he said, all right, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. So angels have taken part in the guiding work of God, certainly. Angels have been involved in the calling of men to service. You remember in Judges chapter 6, where here's Gideon. He's threshing wheat behind the tower there, and he's trying to hide from the Midianites. And he's all upset and bothered and like everybody else is. And it is an angel of God that comes to him and meets with him under a tree there, meets with him under a tree and talks to him and gives him his calling. Now, as you read that in Judges chapter 6, well, let's just go ahead and turn there, Judges chapter 6, and let's get a look at Gideon and his encounter with the angel. Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Judges 6, verse 11 and 12. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah. And Ophrah pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon looked around and said, "Who are you talking to?" And you know the story. But the angel of the Lord was the one that was involved in the calling of Gideon to service. Now, as Gideon's hesitance appeared there, the Lord himself actually intervened there and did some work with Gideon. But the angel of the Lord was the one God was using to confirm Gideon's call to service, call to ministry. In Gideon, in chapter 6 and verse 19 and through 24, you're in the same place there. Go up to verse 19 and follow on down. In chapter 6 of Judges, verse 19, Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. And the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, "Take flesh and unleavened cakes and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff and that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose a fire from out of the rock and consumed the flesh of the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord and said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." So the work of the angel of the Lord was involved in the calling of Gideon to his place of service, to his opportunity for ministry. Wouldn't you like to have an angel of the Lord come and tell you what you're supposed to do in serving God? Wouldn't you like that for an angel to just come sit down with you and say, "Okay, Brother Reuben, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to head up to jail ministry, and here's what you're supposed to do. Here's the guys you should be involved with. Here's the ones that are going to help you, and you just go talk to them, and I'm going to send an angel before you and prepare their heart. And when you talk to them, they're going to go, 'Yeah, I was just waiting for you to call, waiting for you to ask.' And you're saying, 'Yeah, that'd be great.' And then the next thing he wants me to do, and the next thing he wants me to do, an angel comes, sits down with me, and pulls out the iPad, shows me the schedule that I'm going to go through, and that'd be great, be wonderful. Wonderful. We'd all love that. That was what was happening with Gideon. He's telling him, now Gideon's hesitant. He's reticent. He doesn't know. He's asking for signs. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly that, that the Jews are sign seekers, and certainly hosts were. So, time after time again, the Jews were wanting God to give them a sign. Give me a sign. Give me a sign. Give me a sign. And we got into that bad habit ourselves as Christians sometimes. "Lord, give me a sign, give me a sign." And he said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." He wants us to believe his word and trust him by faith and walk and live by faith, not by signs, not by, "Okay, this sign happened, that sign happened, I'll do this, I'll do that." No. That is a Jewish characteristic, and that's not one of their better characteristics, always seeking a sign. Gideon was not magnified or glorified because he sought signs. God was just patient with him and put up with him, put up with his lack of ability to trust God, trust the angel of the Lord, and yet used him. So the angel is involved, obviously, in this calling of this man to ministry. Now, the angels have rescued the despondent from their despondency and their despair as well. You recall the account of from 1 Kings chapter 19, where the prophet of God was in a despairing and a despondent condition. Let's take a look at him there. Follow him for a moment. 1 Kings chapter 19, and let's take a look at what the angel's ministry was here in the prophet's case. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. Here's Ahab tells Jezebel, "I'm going to get Elijah. I'm going to do him in. I'm going to make sure he pays for what he said and what he's done." And so Jezebel sent messengers to Elijah saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, one of the 400 prophets of Baal that had been killed. If I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it's enough. It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a piece of cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came in the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Here the ministry of an angel is getting the guy out of despondency and despairing. He's given up. He's just looking at what the world says. He's not remembering what the Lord has already said and how God is going to protect him. And so God sends the angel into his presence and says a couple of things. Here, something to eat. Eat. And then he goes back to sleep and wakes him up again. Here's something to eat. Eat. It's going to be a tough journey ahead. You got to get this down. You got to get this nourishment down and drink. And he went in the strength of that meat and drink 40 days and 40 nights till he came to Horeb. And then God began to work a work in his life. It was an angel that brought him out of that place of despair. He was suicidal in his thoughts. He was wanting God to take him out, and all of those were going on. Wouldn't it be great if whenever we got despondent and despairing, an angel came to us and ministered to us? Wouldn't it be great if an angel came to us and brought McDonald's to us and says, eat and drink? I guess that's probably not going to give you strength for 40 days and 40 nights, maybe 40 minutes. But wouldn't it be great if we had an angel come to us every time we were a little down, a little depressed, a little despairing, a little discouraged? If every time we were discouraged, an angel came to us and said, hey, here, get up, get with it, get going, get on. It would be nice. It would be great. We'd love that. But we do have that. We have greater than that. We have better than that. Better than that is what I'm talking about. Angels have been involved in the rescue of the despondent from their despondency. Angels have protected the saints of God. It's clear in the Bible that angels have protected the saints of God. In verse in Psalm 91, it says it this way, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And in Psalm 34, again we see it. Let's look there. Psalm 34, verse 4 and following. Psalm 34, verse 4 and following on there. And take a look at another ministry of angels, the angelic ministry. It's no wonder that the Jewish believers were saying to Paul, look, there are things that the angels do that are mighty things and wondrous things, and we need the ministry of angels. And Paul's trying to tell them, I'm going to give you something better than that, something better than that. In the book of Psalm, chapter 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In the midst of that, he's saying the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So here the Old Testament saint, the New Testament Jewish Christian is pointing back to this ministry of angels and saying the angel of the Lord protects the saints of God, and God gives angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Who kept the mouths of the hungry lions shut? Who kept the mouths of hungry lions shut when Daniel was cast in the den? They left those lions without food until their ribs were showing, and they were mighty hungry, and they lowered Daniel down. You remember the lament of the king. Now the king understood that Daniel was a man of God, and the king was repentant about what he'd done. In fact, he tried everything he could to keep that sentence from being carried out, but it was the law of the Medes and the Persians. It had to be carried out. He stamped the seal. He signed it. He delivered it. There was nothing he could do about it. And so you remember that account. Look at Daniel chapter 6, and let's look at the ministry of angels here in protecting an Old Testament saint of God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20 through verse 22. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20 through 22. The king cries when he came to the den. He cried out with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, this next morning after a sleepless night. And he said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, here's his voice echoing up out of the chambers of the pit of the lions. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. It was the angels that were sent to close those lions' mouths. And it was quite a night, it must have been, that Daniel spent among those lions and angels, you know, just hanging onto their jaws, you know, and holding on to them, keeping them from eating Daniel up or standing between him. I don't know how it went down, but the angel was come between Daniel and the lions all that night. And they were hungry. They could have used a good tasty treat from Daniel's flesh, you know. It could have been a real blessing to them, and they would have enjoyed that meal. But the angel came in between them there. And the king goes, wow, you know, he brings them up. And just to make sure it was the Lord, he says, are you sure those lions are active and they're hungry or they're not drugged or something like that? He says, tell you what, let's bring all those that accuse Daniel, let's bring all those and cast them into the pit. And bring their wives and bring their kids along too. It's a pretty rough sentence. But the Bible says here they touched the bottom of the pit, they were eaten up. They were torn asunder. They were mighty hungry lions. It wasn't anything to do with the lions. It had to do all with the angels protecting them. There's another lesson in there, young people. There's a lesson in there, a good one for you, ladies. See, their wives went into the pits with them. The husband's sin was a sin that affected their wives as well. So I'm going to say to you, ladies, be careful who you marry. And be sure who you marry. Be sure it's God's choice and not the world's choice. That's what it's saying here. These wives went in to the condemnation with their husbands. Their children went in. It's a sad story, a sad situation. But the lions had no, you know, they had no scruples about eating those. There was no angel protecting those. There was no innocency in those. And I want to say to you that the angel's ministry there with Daniel was very obvious in taking care of him and protecting him through that night. God has angels doing those things. You read in the Bible, and God has angels in charge of armies, defeating the enemies of God's people. We remember the attack on Jerusalem, and the armies were situated. The Assyrian armies were situated, and they were ready to march on Jerusalem. They were going to destroy Jerusalem, and God tells Hezekiah and gives him the confidence and says, "Look, there is going to be an interference run," and we read of that. The angels of the Lord went out. The angel of the Lord went out that night and discomfited the armies of the Assyrians and killed 144,000 of them there in the field, and they went back to their land. And you read the account in Isaiah 37. The Assyrians planned an attack, but God had other plans, and an angel was the entity used by God to defeat the enemies. Now, don't you wish when you had the hungry lions of this world ready to eat you up that you had an angel come in and intervene? Don't you wish when you had the hungry lions of this world ready to tear you apart with gossip and innuendo and all of the other things that the world uses against the people of God, don't you wish you had an angel to come in and intervene and shut the mouths of those lions? It'd be a great thing. But you and I have something better than that. Don't you wish that as the angels defeated the armies of Assyria when they attacked when they were ready to attack the people of God, the city of Jerusalem? Don't you wish that we as a country had that assurance that the Lord would send His angel when there were threats and terrorist attacks and terrorist planning. Don't you wish that the angel of the Lord would intervene in our nation's behalf, in our life, and intervene? Wouldn't it be great if we had an angel that dealt with all of our enemies, all the ones that stood against you? Wouldn't it be great to have an angel just take care of that for us? Well, it would be good. It would be great. We'd like that. But we do have all of those things and more. And that's what the book of Hebrews chapter 1 is really emphasizing to us. It tells us we have something better. Something better. Verse 4 says, so much better than the angels. The Hebrew Christian is saying these accounts of the Old Testament, these ministries of angels are there for us. And the Apostle Paul says, look, you got something so much better than the angels. Better than the angels watching over you. We have the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ within us. We have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God within us. If you're a child of God, you've got something so much better than the angels on the outside. You've got the Spirit of God on the inside. You've got something so much better. We have something so much better. We have the seal of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. They didn't have the promise of the seal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come upon them, the leaders or the people that he put into some position of responsibility and given them a task. The Spirit of God would come on them, and then he would leave them after that. The Spirit of God would leave them after that. They had no constant abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. No, they did not. So they did rely upon the help of the angels. They did rely upon the work of the ministry of angels. They did, and they needed to. But you and I have something far better than that, better than angels. The whole theme, as I said, of the book of Hebrews has to do with better things. And all of us would like some better things. Here it is, a better thing than the angels, having all these things going on in our life. Better than that is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. We have things better than those did that just had to rely on the help of angels. We have the guidebook. We have God's guidebook. It has all the instructions that we need in it to put our life together and make it work. Did you ever get one of these things from the store, these piece of furniture from the store that had part A, B, C, D, double E, double A, double B, double C, and said, oh, this package of, all this package of screws and bolts and nuts and everything over here. And they said, simple to put together. All you need is a screwdriver and a crescent wrench and a degree in aerodynamics engineering, and you can put this thing together. And you started, and you got the thing together, and pieces broke, and pieces were missing, and you messed it up, and you put double A with where A was supposed to be, and you put A where double A was supposed to be, and you got the front of the thing in the back, and it's a mess. It's a mess, you know. And so your problem is the instructions were written by a little Chinese man over there, and he didn't have English down too well, and so he's writing it down there, and you're saying, what in the world is he talking about, you know? And I have a tractor that's from China, and the instruction book was written under the when they were really under the reign of the communists. They are now, but they were really, under, and everything you're not supposed to do, they word it this way. It is strictly forbidden to do this. It is strictly forbidden to do that. So anything you're not supposed to do, like, back up the tractor with a child behind it or something like that, it is strictly forbidden. So the instructions there, the instructions in those put together things you have may be written by someone whose English is a second language to them, and maybe a little difficult to follow sometimes, but I want to tell you, the instruction book that God gives us is so detailed and so complete that none of us who really seeks to know has any reason not to know the truth of how to put our life together, how to make it function, how to make it work like God wants it to work. And there we have that instruction book. Along with that, we have a guide. When you're trying to put something together and you can't figure it out, you go onto YouTube and you look at here's a guy doing it step by step, and he's showing us point by point, step by step. We have the Holy Spirit, the guide, coming and showing us point by point and step by step through the instruction book how to put our life together right and how to make it function like God wants it to function. See, we got something so much better than just having angels. Now, there's a ministry, there's an angelic ministry indeed. It is, and it is something that really is given for you and I to carry out. You and I have the responsibility to carry that out. Now, as a pastor, I'm trying to be, you know, watching and warning people and taking God's message from His Word and communicating it to people. So I'm doing angel work that way. I'm taking the Word of God and preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God to God's people as a messenger that is just represent. I'm just a delivery boy. I'm just a newspaper delivery boy delivering the news to you, delivering the Word to you. And that's angel work, you know. That's angel work. We're thankful that all of us is called to do some angel work, as it is defined as a messenger. You're to carry the message to people that need to hear the message, and that's our angel work today. As a matter of fact, we see at the end of our text how that they're all ministering spirits. Speaking of angels there, they're all ministering spirits, and they're sent out to minister that message to those that shall be heirs of salvation. Did you notice that? It didn't say those that are heirs of salvation. It said those that shall be heirs of salvation. What's that mean? What's it talking about? He's saying that we are all missionaries. We send missionaries, but we're all, in a sense, missionaries, aren't we? We're sent with the message as ministering spirits, ministering people to carry the gospel, to carry the truth to those that need to hear the truth. And so we're messengers of those who shall be the heirs of salvation. He's saying they're going to be, but they're only going to be there when they hear the word, when they hear the gospel and respond to it. So our work is in giving to missionaries is exceptionally important work. It is angel work. Our work in communicating the gospel to our own town and our own surrounds and our state and our country, that's angel work, and we're called to do some angel work. Thank God that angels still have a ministry, but their ministry is no longer communicating the Word of God to the people. That ministry has been given to us. It's been given to us in the Word of God, and that ministry has been given to us to take to a waiting world. My friend, are you doing the work of an angel? Let's stand together and give an invitation, and let's take this opportunity to respond to...